Beloved compatriots and friends, we, the International Coordinating Committee and the entirety of the International League of People's Struggle, convey militant greetings of anti-imperialist solidarity to ILPS member organization Bayern USA, to its leadership, its member organizations, and all the delegates to its third Congress. We congratulate all of you for your accumulated and current political and organizational accomplishments in the service of the Filipino communities in the USA and the entire Filipino people who are struggling for national liberation and democracy against U.S. imperialism and the exploiting classes of big compradores and landlords in the Philippines. We take this opportunity to express best wishes to the Filipino women who are participating in this Congress and are all set to hold tomorrow the founding assembly of Gabriela USA. This consolidation of women's organizations is a further strengthening of the Bayern USA and the National Democratic Movement of Filipinos in the U.S. My assignment is to present to you the international situation. Within the time allotted, I can give you some salient points. We can further discuss these in the open forum. As the reality shows, the dogma of the free market is a big lie of monopoly capitalism. The U.S. instigated policy of neoliberal globalization has unraveled. It has not at all solved the problem of the chronic tendency of monopoly capitalism to stagnate and go into recurrent and ever-worsening cycles of boom and bust. It has led to the worst financial and economic crisis since the Great Depression. Even if called a recession by some, the current crisis has already reached the depth, duration, and direction of a depression, far beyond the definition of a recession as a fall of the GDP in two consecutive quarters. The financial markets have drastically fallen and continue to plunge further, despite the trillions of dollars already poured out as bailout for the giant investment and commercial banks and other financial institutions since 2007. The real economy has deteriorated rapidly as a consequence of the financial collapse. The crisis of overproduction and that of capital overaccumulation in the hands of the monopoly bourgeoisie, especially the finance oligarchy, are wreaking havoc on the lives of the people. In the tens of millions, the people in the U.S. who belong to the working class and middle class have lost their jobs due to plant closures and retrenchment, their homes due to the mortgage meltdown and mass layoffs, their pension funds and savings due to the series of bubbles and investment scams, and their social benefits, which have in the first place been reduced and rendered inadequate over the decades. The current grave crisis has been 3 decades in the making and cannot be solved in the short or medium term. It will run for a much longer period of time. It comes from the accumulation and extreme aggravation of the fundamental problems characteristic of monopoly capitalism in a series of worsening crises since the adoption of the policy of neoliberal globalization. The U.S. monopoly bourgeoisie has adopted this policy on the notion that the phenomenon of stagflation of the 1970s was due to rising wage levels and government social spending, and not due to such problems as the inherent tendency of monopoly capitalism to overproduce and stagnate. The economic recovery of war-ravaged Europe and Japan, U.S. market concessions to anti-communist allies, and the demand pull inflation generated by heavy spending on military production, overseas deployment of U.S. military forces, and wars of aggression in Korea and Indochina. The U.S. policymakers have negated the New Deal of Roosevelt, Keynesianism, and even the Samuelson notion of mixing state intervention and free enterprise. They have upheld the notion that inflation is prevented and economic growth is promoted by pushing down wage levels, cutting back on government social spending, and letting the monopoly bourgeoisie accumulate more capital and make bigger profits. The job of the federal authorities is supposedly to simply manipulate the interest rates and the money supply and leave the market to so-called self-regulation. The policy of neoliberal globalization involves trade and investment liberalization, privatization of public assets, deregulation of financial markets, and lifting of social safeguards regarding the exploitation of the workers, women, children, and the environment, and the denationalization of the underdeveloped economies. In any case of serious crisis, the job of federal authorities is supposedly to simply helicopter the money and to pour it on the problem. There is supposed to be no problem that cannot be solved by adjusting the interest rate and expanding the money supply and credit. But ultimately, there is a limit to debt financing. Beyond that limit is the grave financial crisis that has burst out in the U.S. and spread to the rest of the world like a plague. The debts of the U.S. government, the financial and non-financial corporations, and the households have reached unsustainable or unrepayable levels and are causing the financial and economic system to implode. The U.S. national debt has become overly large and unsustainable because of the mounting interest payments for the U.S. securities in the hands of foreign creditors. Because of the ever-growing trade deficits arising from the outsourcing of consumer manufacturers in cheap labor countries and a scheme to press down wage levels within the U.S., and because of the budgetary deficits arising from the growth of the parasitic bureaucracy and military expenditures for weapons development and production, global deployment of U.S. military forces, and the wars of aggression in the Balkans, Iraq, and Afghanistan. The giant financial and non-financial corporations have connived in piling up U.S. corporate debt to the most unbearable levels. They have been responsible for the financialization of the U.S. economy and the overaccumulation of finance capital in the hands of a few. They engage in the unbridled creation of money, credit, and derivatives, the wanton issuance of corporate bonds, the overvaluation of the assets of the monopoly bourgeoisie, the making of financial bubbles, and manipulation of the stock and housing markets to rob the working class and middle class of their savings. In addition to being subjected to the massive replacement of regular jobs with part-time jobs and the lowering of wage and income levels, the U.S. households have been victimized by various forms of debt financing They are bound to loans for housing, cars, student tuition, and consumption in general through the credit card. The worst scam ever inflicted systematically on the majority of U.S. households is in connection with the housing bubble. They were inveigled to go into mortgage contracts at teaser rates and then into high consumption upon the temporary rise of housing values from 2002 to 2005. This scam has been far more devastating to U.S. households than the high-tech bubble of 1995 to 2000, when 40% of them bought into the stock market. At the moment, the U.S. households have savings close to zero, and the pension funds in 401k have been ravaged. Depending on practically the same bureaucrats who are agents of Wall Street, the Bush regime and the current Obama regime have moved on the same track of bailing out, first of all, the giant banks with public money, supposedly to deal with the bad loans and thaw out the credit freeze. The banks have used the money only to pump their assets, but have not resumed lending in any big way, mainly because the producer firms of any size are not borrowing to produce more in a situation of glut relative to dwindled demand. The big three in car production have received public money as bailout, but they have proceeded anyway to lay off workers and reduce production after requiring the unions to accept lower wages and less benefits. The Obama regime has hyped as bailout for the working class trifling amounts in relation to the actual needs and in comparison to the trillions of dollars already delivered to the big banks and other financial institutions since 2007. Such bailout is sham because it comes too late and too little and is actually for the benefit of the private corporations. There are no adequate and effective relief measures for the millions of people who have lost their jobs, homes, savings, and social benefits. There is actually no program of job creation, despite much doubting about projects in infrastructure, green energy, expanded healthcare, and other social services to be undertaken within the budgetary frame of various departments of government, supposedly to stimulate demand and production. The limited funds for the projects are slated to be funneled to and filtered by the profit-making and labor cost-cutting private corporations. There is yet nothing like the Emergency Jobs Program of the Work Projects Administration of the 1930s, which, by the way, could not really overcome the Great Depression. The persistent neoliberal bias of the U.S. monopoly bourgeoisie, especially the financial oligarchy and the Democratic and Republican duopoly, prevents economic recovery in the U.S. within a few years' time. There is no comprehensive plan to revive production and reemploy the millions of workers who have been laid off. As the U.S. economy slides further into the greater depression, the world capitalist system follows. Nevertheless, there will be further adverse consequences for other countries were the U.S. to revive its manufacturing capacity for export and cut down its imports from China, Japan, Europe, and others in order to overcome its huge trade deficit and foreign debt.